Good morning, everyone. I'm Erfan Kazemi. Thank you, Torquato, for introducing me. I'm from Imperial as well. I'm working with my colleagues, namely Professor Sylvester Pinho, on one of the work that we're doing is developing a new methodology so we can apply to composite structures. It's related to the layup. So the layup is made of bio-inspired or helicoidal, as well as it's combined with interleaved hybrid. So this work is sponsored by UKRI. Also, we have collaboration with people from Rolls-Royce. So I start with background and motivation. As you know, an engine of aircraft, is susceptible to blade-off events. You know, when the engine works, one of the blades might be ejected to the containment or the casing of the engine. So we need to make sure that the casing withstand the high velocity impact. But Rolls-Royce informed us that always there are some challenges. We are not doing research for the sake of just trying different materials, trying different layups. So what we need to do, if you have a look at the cross section of the casing, you can see the schematics on the right. So we have some restrictions in terms of thickness limitations, in terms of weight. Also, Rolls-Royce informed us that we need to have a continuous CFRP, carbon fiber reinforcement polymers. So we need to make sure that half of the specimen, half of the structure is made of CFRP to make sure we have suitable in-plane mechanical properties. And also, it needs to be industrially manufacturable. So the scope is to develop thin laminates, less than 10 millimeters or around. We have substantial mechanical properties, so we must involve CFRP in our design. But the aerial weight should be similar, so we do not want to increase the weight, and we need to test them at high velocity impact. The objective is to increase the ballistic limit, to improve the penetration velocity. So we go to design methodology. So you can see this image doesn't have any text on it. So you can see the helicoidal layup on the top left, and it's interleaved with hybrid material. How? I'm going to show you, and we get back to this slide. So in this design methodology, we apply three methods. The first one is material by design. When a composite structure is subject to high velocity impact, we identify three zones during high velocity impact. The first one is high fragmentation, and crushing happens at the impact phase. When we go down, we usually have shear plug, and for CFRP or brittle material, it doesn't dissipate much energy. So the zone that is really interested to us is the third zone, which is located at the back phase, which delamination and tensile failure happens. So we wanted to see which materials performs best in this region. So we did some trials. We applied titanium, aluminum, and D3O, which is a rate-sensitive foam for the first zone. Again, because we want to keep the mechanical properties substantial, we applied either thin ply, because it's trendy, and also thick ply. The thick ply is the current material that Rolls-Royce is using for its casing. So this is the real case scenario. The material has a confidential properties, but thin ply is the Skyflex. It has 20 GSM, it's ultra thin. And also we applied Xylem fiber, PBO, which is also very thin, 30 GSM, with the glass shape memory alloy and Dyneema. Based on our initial studies, we found titanium performs best for the first zone. CFRP, we have to keep them to make the mechanical properties substantial, and also Xylem fiber, PBO, perform best. So the second methodology is bio-inspired, based on the structure of mantis shrimp. We found out that this helicoidal, like rotation of the fibers, instead of quasi-azotropic or cross-ply, performs better. So it depends based on the thickness of the CFRP. If we have thick ply, we use around 30 degrees for pitch angle, and if we use thin ply, CFRP or PBO, we use around 6.5 degrees. So you can see the orientation. It starts from 0 degree at the top, and it for thin ply, it rotates every like 6 degree and comes to 90 degree. The last methodology is interleaving. So we created more gradual transition of properties, so you can see the amount of hybridizing materials increases when we go towards the back face. So based on this, we develop some structures. So these are sets of thick and thin plies but with different configuration. The first one on the left is quasi-isotropic. The middle ones, we change the quasi-isotropic to Bi, bio-inspired, and we go to fully hybrid. On the top, we have titanium, and then we have interleaved blocks of xylem and PBO, thick ply and thin ply. So the test was done by our colleagues at University of our collaborators at University of Oxford. The specimens are 250 to 250 millimeters. The bullet is 40 millimeter diameter, is steel, and the boundary condition is simply supported. We tested from 100 meter per second to 300 meter per second. So we made six panels from each category. So let's go to results. Again, we get back to this nice cross section. You can see the ballistic limit impact velocity versus rebound or perforation velocity on the left. So the black one is quasi-isotropic, the baseline. 150 is the ballistic limit, but this is for quasi-isotropic. We changed the layup to bio-inspired. We improved it by 30%. We added titanium and with PBO, keep in mind, 50% we need to keep CFRP. But the performance was not as good as when we removed the titanium and replaced PBO. So the best performing laminate was CFRP, PBO, interleaved. 212 was the measured ballistic limit. So in this quantitative results, we can see the sets of columns. The left ones are thin ply, and the right ones are thick ply. You can see for thin ply, we achieved more than 150% improvement with the same aerial weight, with almost similar thickness. And also for thick ply, the material that Rolls-Royce is using for the casing, we achieved up to 50%, more than 50% improvement. So let's look at the qualitative analysis. The left one is bio-inspired. It's even better than monolithic. The right one is titanium PBO, but the middle one at 206 meter per second performed best. The bullet got sandwiched inside the structure. So let's look at what happens at the back face at 180 meter per second. Quasi-isotropic, perforated. If you change the layer from quasi-isotropic to bio-inspired, the bullet got penetrated. It sandwiched inside. It got stuck. But when we go to bio-inspired with PBO, even we don't have any single breakage of fiber at the back face. So you can see also the extent of delamination, thanks to the helicoidal layup, increases. So we have more dissipated energy. So we open the laminate. This is bio-inspired, monolithic. So you can see the helicoidal orientation of the fibers. That impact happened in the center, and based on the matrix cracks, you can see the cracks started from the center and extended towards the edges. This is the cross-section of two laminates, 180 meters per second. Both of them are hybrid. The left one doesn't have titanium. The right one has titanium. So you can see PBO fibers, although they are deformed, but we barely observed any fracture in PBO. But nonetheless, CFRP got broken. So this is the last slide, that what happens when we go from low velocity impact to high velocity impact. So this is for thin ply. You can see at 150, we have some fragmentation and crushing of the CFRP. We have multiple micrometrix cracks inside and some delamination between the fibers, I mean the blocks of CFRP and PBO. When we increase the velocity to 180, these matrix cracks become larger and delamination propagates. And when we go beyond ballistic limit, you can see a pure shear plug happened in the center and delamination propagated further. But when we go to the highest velocity, the damage is localized and we don't observe those huge or extended delamination inside the panel. So the conclusion is that our design methodology proved strong improvement in energy dissipation when we apply to composite structures at the same aerial weight and almost similar thicknesses. We observed more than 150 improvement for thin ply based laminates and more than 50% for thick ply based laminates. And also the damage mechanism changed from brittle in quasi-isotropic monolithic to helicoidal delamination and also matrix cracks at the back face. The work that actually now we almost finished the testing, because in real scenarios, blades do not impact the casing perpendicularly. They usually impact it at an angle, around 50 degrees, 55 degrees. So we collaborated with University of Oxford to and made larger scale panels. They're like 60 centimeters to 30 centimeters with much higher aerial weight to replicate the real scenario that blade would be ejected. We have finished the test, but we are still analyzing the results. Hopefully for the next conferences, ICCM and ECOMAS, I'm going to show you the results. Thanks for listening. I'm happy to take any questions.
So thanks, Erfan. We have questions. So,
thank you, Erfan. Very interesting presentation. I'm happy to see that people are now also looking at PBO fiber. It's a very interesting fiber, but it also has a few very big disadvantages that you did not talk about at all. I want to highlight two, and I want to see your comments on that. It's very bad in compression, which I presume at some point it should also matter in this application, and it's very sensitive to UV degradation. That I don't know whether that matters. Is it exposed to UV or not? Can you comment on those two points?
Regarding manufacturing, because these are thin plies, still we have some difficulty because we don't use AFP at the timing and we need to do hand layup, and usually the material provider is like providing us very narrow tapes which is not related. So I'm not sure, but because they're going to be hidden behind CFRP, the UV is going to be a concern. I'm not sure, I might be mistaken, but regarding the compression, we haven't tested directly, but in the impact, we kind of we didn't test any, like, to put them at the impact site to see, for example, when we change the position, whether they're going to perform better. But I don't have any, to be honest, a clear answer for the PBO properties that compression would be interested to look into. But thanks for the remark.
One more quick question.
Very nice presentation. I enjoyed that. I'm interested in, you know, the scaling up of this helicoidal layup. You know, you're making small panels at the moment. You're going to your industrial demonstrator. How feasible is this to scale into a large structure, and what are the scaling issues?
The scaling issue that we face, because this is placed by hands, and as long as the material provider has, like, a, you know, very wide tapes, then it's not going to be an issue. But we had a visit to around the Rolls-Royce Center for Composites near Bristol that you are there, and they are doing AFP for, and I think if they use AFP, and when it comes to robots, it's going to be quite fast, and they can just lay up in different angles very fast. But still, it's not going to be as fast as, you know, quasi-azotropic when we have, like, a very huge, wide tapes. But still, it's going to be time-consuming. But with the development of AFP, I think it's going to be much faster. Cheers.
Okay, so let's thank Erfan again.